Well, I was speaking at a missions conference in Alaska and some time ago, and as I was getting ready to speak and trying to help this church out, our church had helped me get up there, and I want to be a blessing to them. It had been a church that had been planted some years ago, kind of a mission church, and then they said, well, we're going to have a FaceTime, Skype, some sort of way. We're going to have a missionary that's going to be coming. They'd set up all of the way to video that in, and they said, well, have you ever heard of John LaBelle? I said, no, I've never met. I didn't say that. I did. I thought about it, but then I didn't want to be guilty of lying, brother. So I said, oh, yeah. And then his daughter, I think it was daughter and son-in-law, I think I've had that right, was going to the church there. And so then it was a sweet reunion. I said, oh, yeah, well, then we connected a lot of dots, as happens a lot of times in churches. You know, you go and say, well, if you name three people, you can figure it, get it back to your somebody you know. And so it was that he was a great blessing to the church there. And then his kids have been a blessing to the church. My sister was the piano player, and then my brother-in-law, a deacon. And so it was a wonderful time just to get to see them, but then see the work, and then get to hear of the connection. So we first met Brother LaBelle. Brother Dan and I met him somewhere, Bob Evans, I think, and we got to share a meal together and talk about the work and talk about what God had led him to do. And then just circumstances didn't work out right then, that we didn't get connected as far as our church supporting him. And then he got the wicked one about got him through health conditions and COVID. And but the Lord raised him up, and he's doing a great job. And then our church, we've intersected again. We're able to support him, and now we've been able to help with different projects. And so it's been a wonderful way the Lord has led for our church and the LaBelle family. And so that's my side of the story. Now, if he gets up and says anything different, please believe me, he's leaving after tonight. So if he says, well, it hasn't been that sweet, I trust it has been on his side as well. But it's great to be partnering together with people around the world that are getting the job done. And when you give to missions, it's going, some of it, to this place in Sierra Leone and the work that's going on. It's a tough place. It's all tough because people don't want to always hear somebody that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's what he's doing. And so, Brother LaBelle, we're glad that you're back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and he's going to come and, again, greet us and tell us about what's going on, but also share from the Word as well with us. And I'm just excited that God has brought him back here to Buffalo Ridge one more time. Come on up, and we're certainly thankful that you're here, and we're thankful your wife can be here with us, and you're certainly welcome here, and hope you make yourself at home.
Good evening, everyone. Oh, my goodness. Good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. I was actually just joking. My wife and I was saying, well, do you think it'd be okay if I took a nap during the sermon, like they do in Sierra Leone? So you all have to be awake tonight. I'm sorry, but that's just the rules. It is so hot and so humid. It is very common for people to sleep during services in Sierra Leone, so I won't be offended. So don't worry at all. But I just want to thank you so much for the privilege of being here, Pastor. Thank you so much. His kind words, by the way, he was very generous to leave out a part of that story in Homer, Alaska, where they asked me to do a Skype call, which was 3:00 in the morning in Sierra Leone. And I put it on my calendar for the day, because it was 3:00 in the morning, it actually went on the next day. And so I missed the first call, and they were like trying to get a hold of me. I woke up like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. And so, but the Lord worked it out, and so very thankful. So, and I was glad you were able to be an encouragement to that church there, just sweet, sweet church up there in Homer, Alaska. So if you please open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I am going to give an update on what the Lord is doing in Sierra Leone, and I'm very thankful to be able to bring a message tonight as well. If you ever have the privilege of standing up here and listening to people turning pages of the Bible, I'm telling you, it is the best sound in the world. We work in an area where there were no Bibles at all. The only Bibles that exist there are Bibles we have brought. And to be able to give people their very first Bibles is just a privilege beyond words. And I'm not talking one or two, but like, well, thousands at this point now. And when we open the church and they open their Bibles, oh, what a gift, what a privilege that is. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse 6. We'll read verse 6 through 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool.
For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Please pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, thank you for this faithful congregation of believers. Father God, for the pastoral leadership, their families, all who just week in and week out just continue to shine the bright light of the gospel into this community, Father. They need it desperately. Father, we are in a dark, dark place in the world, Lord. Without you, there is no hope, but with Jesus, all things are possible. Thank you for this faithful congregation. Thank you for their faithful support and prayers for missions all around the world, and certainly for our family as well. Father, I ask you please, Lord, through the preaching of your word, that you do a mighty work in the hearts of everyone here tonight and anyone watching online, that you would use your word to encourage, to challenge, to equip, and Father, please to use it to draw us a little closer to Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you please to fill me with your spirit, direct my words, my heart, my thoughts, overcome the weakness of my flesh, and let everything I say bring glory and honor to your holy and precious name. Amen. So for those of you who may not know us, my name is John LaBelle, my wife Kelly right there. We are missionaries serving in Sierra Leone, West Africa. As your pastor said, you all have supported us somewhere about 3 years, give or take a little bit. And we're very thankful for your prayers. I love a church that prays. I was so blessed to be a part of your little prayer service here. If you know anything about our story, you know that we are still on the field, and I am still alive only because God's people prayed. So thank you so much for praying for us. Your financial support has been a blessing every month, but the special gifts that you've given to help us along with our house project and the solar have been used of the Lord greatly. After 5.5 years, we were finally able to get the house ready to move in, which was beyond a blessing. The last home we were staying in, it was very difficult for my wife. I say honestly, I don't ever want to ask her to lay in bed with mice crawling all over her. That's not really a life conducive to health or happiness or anything, but my wife was faithful and willing to serve, but God has now provided a home that is safe and secure and that we are able to live in. And the solar, when I finally got the solar installed in November, I literally cried the first day I turned it on. It was that much of a relief to not have 7 generators that don't work, that are breaking all the time. And just, you know, my wife had 2 light bulbs and a 12-inch fan for 4 years. And to be able to just have her turn lights on and live in the house, and it was just, what a blessing. Thank you for helping with that. Thank you for praying for us in that. Really grateful to you. The Bonth Baptist Church continues to go very well. We continue to reach people with the gospel. I'm very blessed. I have a soul-winning wife because we are a majority Muslim country. I really have a hard time reaching the women, Muslim women, with the gospel, but my wife has no problem. In fact, she's been able to lead a few Muslim women to the Lord lately. A couple of them come to my mind. The first one was Musu. This is a young Muslim lady who is actually married to a young Muslim man that I led to the Lord about 1 year and 2 months ago or so. It took me 6 months of almost daily working with this man for him to see enough and to hear enough and ask enough questions. And then he got saved, and then he brought his wife to the church, and my wife was able to meet with her, and she was able to share the gospel, answer her questions, because they have a lot of questions. And in their culture, they're not allowed to ask questions, especially of the holy man. And so we encourage questions, and so that they can find out what it is that's holding them back. And so my wife and Ms. Hawanatu, the pastor's wife, were able to share the gospel with her. And And then she had a baby just last month. And I love this is how the gospel changes people's lives. Because she had this baby, and unfortunately, for several days, this baby was desperately ill. And we were talking in a place that there is really no health care to speak of at all. But we have God there. You know, people here, something happens, 911. You know, something happens, we pray to God. And so we were here when the baby was born, and they left me a message I will never forget. Her voice, his voice as well, but her voice, she said, please do pray, but we have faith in Jesus Christ. If he chooses to take this child, we will still have faith in him. Imagine having that faith after only knowing Christ for 6 months, coming out of a Muslim faith, looking at that little child thinking it might die. But thank God the child is now healthy and is doing really well. But there was another young lady that my wife was able to lead to the Lord named Esther. So since we came in when we planted Bonk Baptist Church in 2019, we were the first ever Baptist church in the history of our part of the world. They have no idea what Baptist is. We always tell them Baptist is Bible. That's how they know, because we're the ones that give out the Bibles. If you ask us why we do what we do, we open the Bible and we tell you. But since that time, several false churches have come into our community. And this one lady, Esther, she had come in and she told my wife and Ms. Hawanatu that she had been to several churches, air quotes, because they're not churches, they're not preaching the gospel, and they're not born again. They're teaching health and wealth, prosperity gospel. And she said, you were the first church to ever tell me how to get saved. She said, every other church told me if I had faith in God, he would give me money. And that was it. And my wife was able to show her from the Word of God that she was a sinner, that she needed to be saved, and the only salvation was through faith in Jesus Christ. And you should have seen her. When my wife gave her her very own Bible, she just held it to her. She was so happy. She opens it up, writes her name in the front cover of the Bible. It's just amazing to see how the gospel still works and how people, it changed my life. I hope it changed yours, and it changes theirs as well. But I always think it's amazing, you know, because these people have never seen a Bible ever before, that when we do our like preaching messages like this, we have a chalkboard, and we don't just write Romans 12, 1 and 2. We write the page number, because they don't even know there's a Romans or a 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. So because we were the ones that gave all the Bibles, page numbers are all the same. So as they're learning, they don't have to be confused. I'll just turn to this page. And it's just crazy to watch how that works. So now as we've been able to get the house finished and moving forward, full focus now on the next phase of our ministry, which is the Bible College. I'm very happy to report that the curriculum is finally on its way to Sierra Leone. It was supposed to ship in November. The shipping company is Sierra Leonean. It shipped a week and a half ago. So it's been sitting there for a while, but by God's grace, by the end of April, we will actually have the curriculum in country. And we have also been trying to buy land for the Bible College for more than 5 years. I've gone through 13 different negotiations, but we do think we actually have a property now. We've raised the money for it. When I get back, hopefully by God's grace, we'll be able to just finish that and then begin building the Bible College. We do plan to have a soft start, so to speak, in a rented location as we seek to build the permanent facility. But I do ask you to please pray for this. This is really the future of the ministry in Sierra Leone. You have people there. I mean, I am one person. My wife and I, we can't reach 8.5 million people. And the laborers are so desperately few in Sierra Leone. Being as generous as possible with what you call a missionary, somebody that just is giving the gospel out, there's about 8 missionaries that meet that definition in the entire country. So we have to meet 1 million people ourselves. That's not really possible. So what we're doing is with the Bible College, we're going to bring men in, we're going to teach them the Word of God, and then we're going to help them to be able to go and then plant churches throughout the country, because they can reach people that we can't. So the challenge is obviously financial. We do ask you please to pray for the funds needed to be able to build the Bible College. This is not a small endeavor. It's about $85,000, but this is going to be a 2-story building with dormitory space up top and classroom space and administrative library downstairs and a skills training center. My background's construction. When I built my house over 5.5 years, I taught men how to be welders and plumbers and electricians and solar, all of that. Through those efforts, we led 46 men, Muslim men, to the Lord, just building my house. And so the goal with the Skills Training Center is to come alongside the men that are trained in pastoral ministries to teach them a trade so that they can be tent makers when they go to plant churches in various areas. Because the charismatic movement, they make merchandise of God's people. We don't want these men to have to do that. We want them to have a skill that they can support their families while they're doing the work of the Lord. So that's the goal. The challenge is many, is that we are an English-speaking country. I praise the Lord for that. The problem with that is that English is almost never the heart language of the people. That is, like you and I, all of us probably, when we think in English. When we dream in English. That's your heart language. Their heart language is almost never English. It is almost always a tribal language. For us specifically, predominantly Mende. Okay? But when they go to school, if they are taught to read, they are only taught to read and write in English. So I can't get Mende material and say, read this. I have to somehow take biblical truths and doctrines, and I have to speak and preach them in English, but then communicate with them in a language not their own. And so it's going to be a huge challenge, but I know the Lord can do it. He's given me this vision 9 years ago last month. I sat on the beach right next to my house where I was going to build, and I said, Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. And he's continually, faithfully, just making a way, making a way, making a way. So please do pray for us in this. We covet your prayers so greatly. So with that, that's where the ministry is going. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I think what your pastor said was actually quite beautiful, for lack of a better way to say it. If you could only preach one more time, what would you preach about? And I immediately thought, the grace of Jesus Christ. I love the song you guys sang. I always think it's funny how the Lord works these things together, Amazing Grace. That song we sang, my favorite song. The author of that song, John Newton, actually spent quite a bit of time in my country. Very likely he was in my village. I just can't prove it yet. But the woman who enslaved him because he was such a wretched sinner was certainly from my village because she was Sherbrooke. That's where my village is, on Sherbrooke Island. So it's a beautiful connection. But we're going to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We're going to look at each one of those words. You know, as a missionary, I've been very privileged, very blessed. I preached in like 360 churches around the world. I've been able to share the gospel with a lot of people. And what's interesting to me is we often, even in church, we use words, but we really don't understand what they mean. And grace, unfortunately, is one of those words. If you ask somebody, you know, they know they're saved by grace. Praise God for that. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, some of my favorite verses in sharing the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know it's grace that saves us. But then if you ask somebody, what does grace mean? Often they don't know how to answer. They maybe have the concept, but they don't know how to communicate it. And so that's the first word we're going to look at tonight, is grace, because it is so important to the life of a Christian, for salvation certainly, but then even moving forward as Paul is writing here. But I want to point out something to you. This is the Apostle Paul, who just one chapter back lists all these hardships that he has gone through. Okay. Being stoned and left for dead. 5 times received he 40 stripes, saved one of the Jews. Shipwrecked, imprisoned, all of these hardships. And each time he saw God miraculously move in his life to heal him, to help him, to persevere, to keep going, to not give up. Often he would turn right back around and go back in where he had just been persecuted. But now he's got a thorn in the flesh. He's got this issue. And I think it's intentional that he doesn't tell us what it is. Now, there's theories about what it is, but if he had said, let's say that one of the theories is that he was going blind. Let's say if Paul had said, I'm going blind and I've asked Jesus 3 times to heal me. He said, no, my grace is sufficient. We would limit the application of this passage to people going blind. But because he doesn't, he just says a thorn in the flesh, you and I as Christians, we can take the words of Jesus Christ as well, where he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And we know this from Scripture because at the end of verse 10, Paul says, therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. So it's not limited to anything. It is whatever you are going through in your life. So grace, first off, if people do have a definition, which is the correct definition, it's unearned favor or undeserved merit. And it is that, okay? But when you, when I say to you, if I could, you know, take this verse and say, Jesus said to me that my unearned favor is sufficient for you. What does that mean? Well, how do you take that and find comfort and then be able to take pleasure in infirmities when you say, well, I don't deserve it, but I guess I'm going to get something from God. What is it? But I learned years ago that the Old Testament forerunner to the word grace in the New Testament is the word loving kindness. And for me, that fills out that word. And in fact, if you look, I don't know if you're familiar with the principle of first mention. If you study a word and you look back at the first time it appears in Scripture, it informs a lot about what that word is going to mean moving forward. And in fact, the first time you see loving kindness in the Old Testament is in Psalm 17:7, where the Word of God says, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee." So if you think about it from that sense, it is undeserved and it is unmerited, but it's not some cold, distant, unfeeling thing. It is his loving kindness towards you. And you don't deserve it and you don't earn it. That's what makes it grace. It's not of works. So we know from salvation, you can see it clearly that it is unearned and unmerited. Because if you think about, we have a God, this always just shocks me to my core. We have a God who knows everything about me. We have a God that knows everything I have ever said, every thought I've ever thought, everything I have ever done with these hands. He knows every single lie I've ever told. He knows everything about me. But he still loves me. That's loving kindness and that's grace. It's because you don't deserve it and you can't earn it. But it's not in the negative, like, oh yeah, you're not good enough. You don't deserve it. You're such a wretched sinner. No, God commendeth his love towards us. He demonstrated his love towards us in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is not in the negative, it is in the positive, it is in his loving kindness. God's love for you in action saved you from your sin when you put your faith and trust in him. He doesn't say, oh, well, stop sinning, get a little bit better, do some good works, somehow earn a little bit of love for me. No, he says, I know everything about you and I love you and I love you so much I'm going to die for you. Whom for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew I was going to get saved on December 22nd, 1995. A wretched sinner, deserving to go to hell. I worked for it. I earned it. The wages of sin was death. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Not because I had to earn it. Not because I deserved it. But because he just chose to love me. And he's chosen to love you too. And that is what saves you. And I'm going to stop here real quick. If you are here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just beg you, as Paul would say, I beseech you passionately that you would tonight, you would make a decision to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, forgiveness of your sins, because we do not know what tomorrow holds. Today could be the day of your salvation. If you receive that free gift, that's what the Bible says, it's a free gift. He's not going to ask you to pay for it. He's not going to ask you to earn it. He's not going to ask you to work for it. He just wants you to receive him by faith. And you can be saved too by grace because he loves you. His loving kindness for you. And you don't deserve it. And he knows it. He loves you anyway. He's not asking you to deserve it. He just loves you. But now Christians, okay, the Bible says that he giveth more grace. And Paul, Jesus says here that my grace is sufficient for you, no matter what you're going through. I have a thorn in the flesh, which I find very fascinating personally. So I'm not going to go through my whole COVID testimony. I'm trying really hard to get finished on time tonight. It's African time, okay? There is no time. Tonight, there's a clock. I'm going to look at it. I spent 97 days in the hospital in Johnson City Medical Center, 63 days on a ventilator. When I woke up, I was on dialysis. I was paralyzed. I had to learn to swallow and walk again. 5 months to get off of dialysis, which does not happen, but the Lord had a purpose and a plan. But my left leg has never woken up. If you watch me walk, I walk with a limp. If you saw my leg, which I don't recommend, it's half the size of my right leg. It's just never grown back correctly. In fact, I can't feel my left foot at all. But I have constant nerve pain, 24 hours a day, nerve pain. And at nighttime, very often, I will just, out loud, because it feels like somebody stabs me like a thorn in the flesh. I personally, my life, not just in that, but in many ways, I connect with this passage. Because when you are going through hardships and trials and sufferings and persecutions and necessities, you look for someone to help. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Do you know that when I'm up, awake in the middle of the night because I can't sleep because I'm in pain, you know what I get to do? I get to talk to God. And so can you. Because I have a friend in Jesus Christ. Because his grace was sufficient to save me. But you know what, Christian? His grace is sufficient for you to live a life that brings glory and honor to his name as well. Paul says, my grace is sufficient for thee. His loving kindness for you. You don't have to try to earn it. You don't have to try to deserve it. We, even as Christians, I feel like so often we think that it's about what we do. We're trying to do something so that God will love us and give us a little bit more favor. But that would be works. That's like sanctification through works. Now, please don't get me wrong. The Bible says, what should we do then? Continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that from Scripture, because you can't earn it, you don't deserve it, that when even when you're in the middle of a sin, if you are a child of God, he loves you. Because it's not up to you to be good enough to do something right. He chose to love you, and he will never stop. His grace is sufficient for you. The word sufficient, very interesting word. It means to be enough. It's also translated. I find it very often very helpful to me when I study a word to look at how the translators have translated it into other words to help fill in. It's also translated content. It means always be enough, never too little, nothing wasted. The word appears in Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content. There's the word sufficient right there. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Think about it in that passage in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. He is suffering. He's going through hardships and trials. Jesus says, my grace, my love for you is enough. Why? Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can be content in what you have in the love of Jesus Christ because he is enough. He is never going to be lacking, nothing wasted. He's always on time and he's always right there. There will never be a time in your life where you will need the love of God and he will separate himself from you. No matter what you are doing, he will never forsake you. His grace is sufficient and you can be content in it. And you can just enjoy it and experience it because he's your friend. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He gives your life purpose and value even when you're going through suffering. He will never leave you. My grace is sufficient. His love for you. I deal with this so often on the mission field when people are learning what it is to be a Christian and they're going through something. The first thing they do is say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? As if I have some special relationship and power. I said, no, you pray. Because if you're a child of God, guess what? You get to talk to your Father God through Jesus Christ because you're his child as well. I will pray with you, but you don't need me. And you don't need me either. And you don't need doctors. You don't need anything else. What do you need? When you get cancer, yes, thank God for doctors. But they don't save you. God does. I was thinking in Africa, I said this earlier, something happens, the first thing we think to do is 911, right? Okay? 911, that's the first thought we have. We don't have 911. I haven't had 911 in 11 years. And I thank God because you know what I found out? It's God's always there. There's not a single time where I'll get a busy signal or they're going to 5 minutes away. He's right with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Your faith in him is enough, and his love for you is sufficient, and you can be content in it because it's enough. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is my favorite word in this study. The word means power, might, or miracles. I think that's fascinating to think about miracles. So it's a force. It's specifically miraculous power. It's actually in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Peter is saying, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles." Same word, strength. "By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So his grace is sufficient for you, for his strength is powerful, but it's miraculous. And I think about, okay, why is that? Well, think about this. It makes sense because Jesus is God in the flesh. And by definition, anything that God does is not limited by his creation. Therefore, it is supernatural and it is miraculous. That means that no matter what you're going through, he's not limited by your circumstances. There's nothing that you can say, "Oh, I don't know how to do this," but he does. "I don't know how to get through this," but he does. "I don't know how to face tomorrow," but he does. He knows how to help you. And his help is not limited by the things you can see, because we walk by faith, not by sight. His grace, his love for you is enough because it's miraculous, because it's not limited. It is of God himself who calls you friend in Jesus Christ. I just hope with my heart that that encourages you as much as it does me. Because there are so many times through COVID, but even just so many times in my life where you're having problems and you're just, "I don't know what to do. I don't know a way forward." People will say, "Oh, you're such a strong person. You're such a strong woman." No, I have such a great God. Amen. His love for me is enough. I can be content. It is sufficient because it's miraculous. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Years ago, I did a study on the word sincere in the Bible. And I came across this story that, for me, I'm a very visual person. This story tells me what that word looks like, okay? So in ancient Asian cultures, if you had an earthen vessel, and the Bible says we are earthen vessels, okay? If you have an earthen vessel, and it develops a crack, okay? It doesn't have to be a very valuable pot, just something that the family has that they want to keep. They would take it to an artist, and the artisan would take this cracked earthen vessel, and they would fill the crack with gold, that it would become perfect, that it would fill in that what was lacking. That's what the word means. And the value of what it was after the repair was far greater than it was before it was broken. His love for you is sufficient. His strength is enough. Why? Because he makes you perfect and so much more valuable when you let him into your life to fix what's broken, to help you go through whatever you're struggling with, and you come forth as gold. It is the most beautiful thing to think about. You think about, "I don't want to go through this." I'm telling you, my wife did not want to go through what she went through in COVID. Probably just once a week, we still cry about it. It was hard. But if you could see us the way God sees us, we were broken, but he made us perfect. And we have more value to him as servants of God than we ever did before, because he loves us. And there's a purpose to your suffering and your pain and your hardships and your difficulties and trials. You are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Everyone looks at you. They see how you deal with the hardships and trials. And when you take this to heart and you say, "No matter what I'm going through," instead of trying to be released from the circumstances, it's fine to pray about that. I've been praying for a long time for this foot to heal, but he has chosen not to. But his grace is sufficient for me, and his grace is sufficient for you. He loves you, and he's not asking you to deserve it. He's not asking you to earn it. He's just asking you to enjoy it. And his love for you is enough that you can be content with nothing else. Nothing else in this world. It's miraculous. It will give you the peace of God that passes all understanding. People look at you and go, "How can you make it through?" Because of God. Amen. And he fills in all the broken pieces. And he makes you perfect. That when you are weak, then you become strong. I don't know what your year is going to hold. I don't know what my year is going to hold. But you just look around for a few minutes as your pastor say, I'm praying for the rapture to come. But if he doesn't come, we need to be busy. We need to be about the Lord's work. We need to be faithful in sharing the gospel. You support missionaries all over the world. Praise God. Thank you. But who's reaching Great Tennessee? Who's reaching your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers? Who's reaching your mission field? All these things that come, Satan throws them at us, hoping to discourage, to distract, to depress, to keep us from looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But if you will just depend on him, his love for you is enough. And instead of having a year filled with trials and hardships, and you have a year filled with opportunities. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What an awesome opportunity. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever it is in life, and I know everyone in this room is going through something difficult and hard. Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm going to finish with this. When we are weak, we draw close to him. And that's right where he wants us to be. Pastor, thank you. Father God, I thank you so much for the blessing of being able to be here tonight. I thank you for your grace. If there's only one message I could preach, it would be that. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Saved everyone here in this room that saved. And Father God, you've given us that blessed gift of being able to go and be ambassadors and to preach that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a sin-cursed, fallen world. Father, help us to depend more on your love for us, to give us the power to be able to accomplish your purpose through our reproaches and infirmities and hardships and difficulties and trials, that others may see our faith and desire a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.
I'll ask you to obey the Lord and mind what he tells you to do and has led you. My grace is sufficient for thee, Jesus said at that time. The Apostle Paul, who was facing that difficulty, for my strength, my might, my force, as was brought out tonight, it's made perfect in weakness. Verse number 10 is a hard one to claim. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches and necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. But it's in there. May we find ourselves trusting what the Lord is doing in our lives and believe that his grace is sufficient for us. If you're able to, for a moment, stand together with us. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight and you want to give something to the Lord, something that's going on in your life right now, some difficulty, some problem. But the Lord has zeroed in on that in your life, and you are saying to him, Lord, your grace is sufficient. I wasn't sure it was. I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't claimed it, but I am tonight. My grace is sufficient for thee. Would you give it to the Lord tonight? That difficulty, that infirmity, that thorn, would you give it to him? As they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, please come and pray. Make an altar out of your seat if you want to there. But please don't leave before you do business with the Lord. And if you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, I suppose I know everybody in the room, I guess. But you may have been having some doubts about it, and I was a church member, and I needed to make sure I was saved. Maybe that's you tonight. Would you step out and come and let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how to be sure you're on your way to heaven? If there's some need you have, please come. as they just play through another verse, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I always hate to leave thinking that maybe there was some unfinished business that somebody just needed to do. I know I don't have to twist your arm or trick you. It's not my place. I'm certainly not the Holy Spirit. But I know myself, I've been at a spot where I was about ready to do something, but then finally I held through long enough and I just didn't get right, or didn't get it taken care of, or didn't give it to the Lord, whatever the case might have been. And I just want to tell you, mind the Lord, would you please? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in church tonight. Thank you for being here, and I'm thankful for what God has given us. I'm thankful for Him bringing the LaBelles our way, and it's been a great blessing to me, and I hope that you'll get by. I'm going to ask them to slip out to the lobby and be there in the center somewhere. I'll join them in just a moment, but if you would like to get by and just convey to them, we're praying for you, praying the Lord would continue to bless, lead, guide, and direct, then you please do that, but get a good look at them so you'll know who to pray for, and we'll certainly continue to do that. But do be praying for those that are in need tonight. Pray for Miss Nancy Brinkley. Pray the Lord would strengthen her and bless her over at the hospital. Pray for Rick Hall and Becky Roten. Pray for Tony Slaughter. Pray for David Eller. He's heading over to Nashville tomorrow. Go back to Vanderbilt. Pray the Lord give him safety on the way. And pray for Bill Neal's going through chemo. Pray for Nick Rim taking radiation. We've just got a lot of folks, and that's only a small part of them. There's others. And so we just need to lift each other up in prayer and ask the Lord to bless in a special way. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hey, Ron, who's the mission?